from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sweet, sweet victory. The nectar of victory came their way. A morsel of greatness. A time had by all. That will live in the bowels of 92.9 The Game, the annals of lore, of passion, desire, and greatness. That's what our Joe Patrick got to experience as he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, did I accurately describe your time during the inaugural 92.9 The Game Summer Games?
Oh, Chris, I enjoyed that so much. You know, that's why we play the game, so that we get to hear those plaudits about ourselves and think greatly about ourselves, and that's really what this is all about. But and the other thing is that we let it wire to wire. We never let it go. You know, we basically had this thing in hand. We actually gave them an opportunity to salvage something in the last day, and then we snuffed that hope. So yeah, it was a total domination by Team Duke.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear Bo Johnson talking about rules and all that. Listen, man,
unbelievable antics of Bo Johnson. Could not believe that.
Yeah, from a guy that really, you know, is one of the stalwarts here at 92.9 The Game, a real hard hat kind of guy. I'm just disappointed in that response and that he couldn't, you know, on a day where he got to bring his beautiful family to the water park free of charge and have a great day. That was his response at the end of it. Just really a miss by our very own Bo Johnson. But all right, plenty to talk about, Joe. Camp is opening up very soon. Some might say too soon based on the state of the Falcons defense and the holes that continue to be there. I've been asking you all summer and I'm going to ask you again. Is this team just rolling with either Mike Hughes or Clark Phillips at CB2?
Yeah, I think so. And we'll see if it lands that way for opening kickoff week one. But I would think that will be it, because even guys who get cut from other rosters are probably not going to be at the caliber even of these guys. And so, yeah, I mean, listen, this defense is a major gamble by the Falcons this year in terms of getting this defense to the caliber that it will need to be if this team wants to accomplish what it wants to, which is obviously to win the NFC South and then even do some damage in the playoffs, I think. But obviously that first goal is just to win the division. And you're going into it with, I think, a major question mark at that CB2 position. And by the way, at the CB1 position, you have a major question mark there long term, where you have yet to sign A.J. Terrell to a contract extension, which I thought would have happened by now. So that's another kind of curious point. And we'll see. It seems obviously less likely now that gets wrapped up before training camp starts. So TBD on that front as well on the long term, but then also, you know, the pass rush, which I know, Chris, you've been, you know, out in front of more than anybody talking about the question marks around that position and how the Falcons obviously went away from addressing it with their top draft pick in this most recent draft. So there are a lot of questions about this defense, but I think ultimately the gamble is that the Falcons are leaning on Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator, to basically coach these guys up and get them. I don't think this, you know, front office is under any illusions that this is going to be some great defense or anything, but I think that the way they think about it is, can we get to league average, or maybe even a little bit below league average, because they expect their offense to be that good, and that's just the way that they're going to approach this season. It's going to be a big departure from what the Falcons team has been these last 3 years.
All right, so the rebuttal to that is always, they're going to scheme up sacks and they're going to scheme up coverage.
Right.
But Joe, You need to have players that are able to do that. I don't care what your approach is. You need to have the if your approach is, I'm going to let my corners go on an island one-on-one, well, you better have Stephon Gilmore and Darrell Revis back there to cover those guys. Like, I don't care what the strategy is, but you need the horses that are able to do it. Did we lose Joe Patrick there?
Yeah, sorry about that. My headphones died there.
No,
Chris,
fine.
I'm with you. You know, I think the model is essentially what the Rams were last year in terms of what they plan to do with the defense, which is, you know, that Rams defense didn't have star players on it, but they were like, you know, they still weren't even I wouldn't consider them a good defense at all, or maybe even an average defense, but they weren't embarrassingly bad, and they made offenses work, you know, for what they got on the field. And I think that this team thinks that the Falcons offense is going to be a little bit better than that Rams offense was even last year, even though they had, you know, that was especially by the end of the year, that offense was really rolling, and I think that's what the Falcons would hope to see. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It is a gamble, but I mean, I think that you look specifically at what their hopes are for what Raheem Morris can do with the young players specifically. And so in that draft, they obviously didn't go with the defense with that first pick that they had in the top 10, but then it was a slew of defensive picks after that. And so I think that's really what they're going to be relying on. And it will be interesting. I think there's also some strategy in terms of how they want to like structure and build this defense long-term, because you also have guys like Grady Jarrett, who is a big question mark coming into this season, obviously coming off the injury and the contract that he has and the age that he's on, and what kind of the strategy is going to be in terms of constructing these contracts with some of your key players on that defensive side of the ball going into the future.
All right, on the offensive side now, as we're talking with our buddy Joe Patrick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Thomas with you until 6:30. How much of a leash does Caleb McGarry get, especially early on, because Kirk probably isn't going to be at 100%. If he can't pass block or doesn't make a major improvement, do you think, despite the contract, that they'd pull him early?
You know, it will be interesting to see what happens if that does happen. I will say that I think Caleb McGarry was a little bit better last year pass blocking than we remember, because the bad was so bad, and it was especially early in that season when I think it was that first game against the Panthers where he was just getting absolutely smoked by Brian Burns. That was tough to see. But then I think, you know, the team actually got pretty good pass protection out of Storm Norton, who's still on the roster as this team's swing tackle. And, you know, if things do get off to a bad start for Caleb McGarry, I am also curious, Chris, because I talked to Dwayne Ledford earlier this summer, and I kind of was just sitting with him, and we kind of just went through, you know, basically left to right across the offensive line, like, you know, what he sees in these players. And, you know, while there are some concerns, obviously, with what Caleb McGarry can do in the pass protection game, what he offers in the run game, and it's similar to Drew Dahlin, what he offers in the run game is quite unique. Like, there aren't a lot of right tackles who can really kind of blow guys not just off the ball, but then drive them 5-10 yards like Caleb McGarry can do from that right tackle spot. So I think that he still does offer this offensive line some benefits. He's still a quality player, but you're right. I think they're going to have to be a little strategic in terms of how they design their pass protections to help Caleb McGarry and not leave him on an island. And I think that, you know, it's great to have a quarterback, frankly, like Kirk Cousins, who's going to be able to check into those things and help be able to even potentially design some of this stuff throughout the week when he's looking at the opponent and he's, you know, thinking about the, you know, his experiences in the past and trying to help Caleb McGarry, because obviously it's in Kirk Cousins' interest to make sure that his bases are covered on all fronts. So it is something to watch out for sure. And I think that that's one of the reasons why this team has yet to kind of really invest in Caleb McGarry in the long term. They're kind of like, they gave him the contract extension, but it's one where they can kind of bail out of it at any time. So I think it's kind of a big prove it year for Caleb McGarry, to be honest.
All right, you are, if I'm not mistaken, on the call for the pre and post game for Atlanta United today.
I am.
What do you make of what's gone on there the last couple of weeks, Joe?
Man, it is absolutely insane what's happening at Atlanta United right now with all the players that have gone out. Now there's rumors of players who are coming in, but they wouldn't be able to come in at the earliest until sometime next week, so we'll see how those rumors have developed. At the same time, on the field, you had interim head coach Rob Valentino come in, had a decent unbeaten run, although I would kind of, you know, say that it's not like the team, I think, was playing a whole lot different. I think that they just so happened to, like, get the, you know, they just started kind of getting the breaks like those, these interim coaches tend to do when they first come in. But now this team has lost three games in their own all competitions, including a really backbreaking one to a lower league team in a trophy competition where you had a real chance to win a trophy in the U.S. Open Cup. They lost to Indy 11 here at home at Kennesaw last week. And it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from that. This is a lot of road games for this team. It'll be their third consecutive league road game in a row, third road game out of four in all competitions. So tough. These are the toughest part of the season for the squad because it's depleted with these guys who have left the team and the talent hasn't come in yet. So you just got to try to survive for these next three, four games or so. And it's a difficult stretch, I have to say, for Atlanta United, but you got to try to just scratch and claw for any points you can to kind of just keep yourself in touch of that playoff line by the time that those players can come in. And then I think once those you do get players come in, we do expect two designated players to enter this team, this transfer window, then that could inject the kind of quality and just kind of lift that this team needs in the dressing room, that confidence that they need, that this is, they can turn a new page, turn over a new leaf, and then make a real charge at it in the stretch run of the season.
What's the identity of this team right now? It seems like without, I know you just said they're going to bring in two new DPs, but without their two best offensive players, without a head coach right now, what do you think this team can still hang its hat on in terms of where they are as a franchise?
I don't think they have one right now, Chris. Like, I think that's a great question because I think you just nailed the hammer on the head there, which is that this team does feel rudderless right now. Like, I was at that Indy 11 game in Kennesaw, and it's a small stadium. You can really kind of have a more intimate view of the team because you can hear the benches, you know, both benches, by the way, and the contrast between a team that feels like it does really have a core identity and this lower league team is coming in to play hard and defend and be a pest, you know, and they kind of take pride in that. And you compare that to this Atlanta team who kind of considers themselves as this big club, this big, you know, winning team, but they're depleted right now and they've still, you know, they've got some, you know, academy products and young kids out there that are playing because they're trying to rotate, obviously, in that competition. And that's it, Chris. Like, they don't have that kind of identity. And I think that that's, I hate to say this, but I think that it's one of the reasons why Rob Valentino, I do not think ultimately will be this team's head coach because, you know, make no mistake, this is kind of a dress rehearsal for him. But I don't really see them coming together in any kind of coherent way. They've done some things with the formation. I think some of the changes that Rob Valentino made upon Gonzalo Pineda's departure, I think those helped the team initially, but, you know, I think these are the really important weeks that coming up here, these next few weeks for Rob Valentino to try to, like, put his grip on the squad and see if he can kind of implement any kind of changes that can help them form that identity, especially when these players come in. And so that's going to be a very important point because I don't think it's something that they have right now. And I think they look around the dressing room, they look around each other, and there's just not a lot of confidence. You know, there's just question marks, and that's never where you want to be when you're a team that's looking to, you know, put themselves back at the forefront of the league.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, as we're wrapping up with our buddy Joe Patrick here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Braves hit the quote-unquote halfway point. We know it's not, but what did you make of their season so far in terms of being able to stay resilient after losing their best starting pitcher and their best player?
Yeah, total roller coaster. I've moved away from the ledge now from where I was maybe if we were to have this conversation a month ago. Feel a little bit better. You feel like there's a little bit more consistency from the lineup. I feel like with a guy like Spencer Schwellenbach, you're seeing a young starting pitcher actually kind of steadily improve over the course of the season, where that hasn't happened for a lot of these other highly talented pitchers for the Braves who have come up and they've tried to use with these guys who have gone down. So feeling a little bit better. Have to see what Alex Anthopoulos does at the trade deadline to really bolster this team. And I think that for the Braves, it's going to kind of be similar to a season like 2021 or even 2020, 2019, where it's just like, well, I guess not 2020 because that was COVID. But, you know, can you just make that stretch run count? Can you kind of get hot at the right time if so, I think this Braves team has a lot of talent and could potentially do a lot of damage. But at the same time, it's hard to think of them as obviously the kind of juggernaut kind of team that we thought they were going to be heading into the season.
All right, Joe, revel in victory this weekend. Light a stogie, pour yourself a stiff one, and enjoy.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.